Guess who's back? Back again. It's Mike effing White. Tell your friends it was a Mike White Christmas because the Jets quarterback is back. We'll see you later, Zach Wilson. Mike White will take the field on Sunday for the Jets in Seattle, and all the scores went their way. So you're saying there's a chance? Oh, yes, there is. Two Jets wins, one Patriots loss, and the Jets playoff drought will end. It's no longer a pipe dream for gangrene. We'll preview Jets Seahawks in Seattle on Sunday and make our predictions. And our special guest to get us pumped for this Jets Seahawks game and these final two games, No Pain Here, Oh the Pain podcast host and WFAN legend. That's right, Joe B, Joe Beningo will join us. It's all coming up on a New Year's edition of Gang's All Here from the New York Post. Welcome back to Gang's All Here, a New York Jets podcast from the New York Post. Jake Brown here alongside Brian Costello. We'll be joined later in the program in just a bit by the legendary Joe Beningo, formerly of WFAN, diehard Jets fan. He'll join us for a big show today. Kaz, you're saying there's a chance. That's the meme that's been going around from Dumb and Dumber. The emotions have changed from a Friday morning and me screaming my head off to now a place where the Jets are in a realistic chance of making the playoffs. Like CJ Mosley said, the football gods were at work this weekend. Everyone they needed to lose essentially lost, except for the Chargers. That path is done. That was a miracle path. The Chargers did win. Otherwise, the Raiders lost, the Titans lost, the Patriots lost, the Dolphins lost. And now two Jets wins in Seattle, in Miami, one Patriots loss, either at home versus the Dolphins or at Buffalo against the Bills, hoping that game matters and the Jets would get in or tie. We've seen a few ties this year. So if the Patriots do tie, that also means the Jets get in. So you have to throw that out there. Wow, what a turn of events, guys, from Friday. I mean, we all thought this was over, and sure, it's still going to be difficult, but it is no longer a pipe dream like Friday morning.
Yeah, it was crazy 3 days, really, Jake. Saturday afternoon, I was at Christmas Eve, but I was following along on my phone with the Patriots-Bengals game. I wasn't able to watch it, but you know, all of a sudden I see Patriots are driving. They get to the 5-yard line, I think. I'm like, oh my God, Patriots are going to win this game. They're going to score here and beat the Bengals. And then, you know, I'm looking at the phone. All of a sudden, the Bengals have the ball. And, you know, I look what happens. Stevenson fumbles and the Bengals win, and that helps the Jets. And then Sunday, obviously, you have the Dolphins-Packers game was standalone on TV. So everyone got to watch it. And you're like, okay, Dolphins will probably pull this out. And then all of a sudden, Tua starts throwing interceptions all over the place. You realize, all right, the Jets have life. You know, my phone lit up at like 4 o'clock from all these people texting me about, you know, the Jets are still alive and all this stuff. And then Monday, you get the Mike White news. And, you know, now I think everyone around the Jets feels good about that. They got Mike White back at quarterback. So everything's going the Jets' way, Jake. It's all coming up Jets right now.
It's all coming up green, baby. And Monday morning, I believe it was, there's Woj bombs, there's Schefter bombs, but now there are Kaz bombs. You dropped an atomic bomb to break this news. First of all, it's got to be a nice feeling. Like, I hope Chris Shaw sends you a text and says, good work, Kaz. I hope you get a nice text from our boss. But that's a nice feeling to break a little big news like that, especially news that got every Jets fan excited.
Yes, it's a nice feeling breaking news, Jake. The way I describe it is you ever find something out, Jake? You gossip, Jake? Do you like to gossip a little bit?
Yeah.
You ever find that little tasty bit of gossip and then you can't wait to tell someone that gossip?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of gossip I know that I'm not allowed to say.
Right, really. But that's what breaking news feels like, right? You break it, but you're telling all these people, and it's a very good feeling. And yeah, it was nice to break that news, and I think Jets fans should be excited. It gives you new life. I think if you were going into this week without Mike White, you'd be like, what would they be doing? Would they be going to Joe Flacco? You know, you'd be debating that stuff, and it'd be brutal. So I think everyone should be quite happy to see Mike White back there.
Yeah, and like, I would not be looking up Miami flight prices if Zach Wilson was the quarterback in Seattle, or even Joe Flacco or Chris Streveler. So It's interesting. You know, Salah will continue to kind of coddle him, saying he's part of the future plans. That just seems like coach speak, Kaz, at this point. I think we're all pretty much aware. I know Jay Glazer put a report out there. There's reports that it's over with Zach Wilson. I think Salah at this point is just trying to not crush this kid's mentality. I think it's over with Zach.
I think, Jake, they have to explore how it can be over. Right. You're still a ways away. You know, the Senior Bowl is when sort of the chatter starts between the GMs. I think Joe Douglas needs to see if there's anyone out there who's interested in giving up, you know, a kicking tee for Zach Wilson. I don't know if he'll get, you know, to me, a sixth round pick, maybe that turns into a fifth if he plays something like that. Maybe, but it's hard, Jake, because he is like, what is he at this point? No team is bringing him in to be the starting quarterback. So are you bringing him in to be a developmental quarterback that you hope you can get something out of? Because this isn't Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield that have shown a little something and then the teams are unloading them. He's shown nothing really. So I think it'd be hard to trade him. And then you have the hard conversation. Do you cut him, you know, with 2 years left on his contract, or do you just bring him back as a backup? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, Jake. And I don't think they know what they're going to do yet. I don't think they're that far down the road. But, you know, the feeling after Thursday night's game was that this is over. It's for both sides, too. Zach, I really think Zach probably needs to go somewhere else to restart his career. It's hard to see him getting this on track with the Jets. Pretty ugly Thursday night with the boos. And I don't blame the fans one bit for booing him. But, you know, I think it's going to be tough for him to regain the trust of the franchise and the fan base.
They were drinking booze while booing because it was that kind of product to watch. The issue will be the, you know, financial side. The cap hit is $10 million, and then it's $11 million around there for the year after for Zach.
Yeah, they can spread that out. They can figure out ways to do that. I don't think the cap will prevent them from doing it. I think it's just a matter of, that's a pretty big admission by Joe Douglas that he screwed that up. Can, you know, there's a lot of times GMs struggle with that. With lesser picks, right? Like, you know, I thought they probably should have parted ways with Denzel Mims before the season. And I don't think Douglas wanted to because he wants it to work. And he drafted him. And I think, you know, this is the number two overall pick. So it's a pretty big admission that you messed it up if you're going to move on from him.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. But it's Mike White for now. Let's hope the offensive line can hold up. That's the big story here. Because one more hit to the ribs and Mike White might be done. And then we're going, I guess, to Joe Flacco because Zach will be inactive on Sunday in Seattle, 4 o'clock, Jets Seahawks.
Inactive in Seattle? Is that a sequel to Sleepless in Seattle, Jake?
Yeah. I mean, Zach could be, listen, he could be a movie star if football doesn't work out, the baby face. Yeah, we'll see. Is Chris Streveler, do you see them keeping him active? Because he did look good running the football, and I think that would be a unique little set of plays against the Seattle defense.
I don't think so, Jake, for a couple of reasons. I think things kind of aligned last week for them. They had a lot of injuries that were inactive. If you look at their inactives last week, Mike White, Denzel Mims, Jeff Smith, Brandon Echols, LaMarcus Joyner were five guys who were all injured. I think they expect to have some of them back. So the roster gymnastics start to get hard. And, you know, they need those guys. You know, White Wilson is kind of a trade, but if you have Mims, Smith, and Echols back active and Joyner, it gets hard to do the roster gymnastics. I also think the reason the Streveler package worked well is Jacksonville didn't know it was coming. Now Seattle has a week to prepare for it. You kind of know what to expect when he's in there. He can't throw the ball. He showed that. So you're just going to stack the box, stop the run. You know, so I think they'll probably put it on ice this week, Jake.
As we look around the league, because there'll be a lot of scoreboard watching, the big one we'll be watching for, and obviously Jets have to win out. We know that. But as we look around the league, Dolphins, Pats. Now, Tua looks like he's not going to play again, which it's getting scary with the concussions with him. It's hard to see him, you know, which affects the Jets, too, because maybe they're facing Teddy Bridgewater again next week. Only got to see, what was it, the first snap?
First play.
The 1 o'clock, Dolphins, Pats. So the Jets will essentially know at kickoff. It's crazy. It's the Dolphins, Pats, and Jets all going for one playoff spot with the Chargers clinching on Monday night to the inept Nick Foles and the Colts. I mean, Giants fans are watching that thinking, if we lose Sunday at home in a win and end game, we should not make the playoffs. Because Nick Foles did not look like the, you know, Super Bowl Nick Foles. He looked rusty, throwing picks. They were brutal. The other scores to watch, really, it's Bills-Bengals Monday night is a huge one, and so is Broncos-Chiefs. Now, the Broncos, talk about inept. They are a mess right now with Russell Wilson. I don't see any chance the Broncos going to Kansas City to win that. But the Bills lead the tiebreaker. So that 1 and 2 seed, you got to watch for, because the Bills have a chance of playing for something or they don't. If the Chiefs win, which we expect them to, the Bills likely are going to have to play their starters against the Patriots next week because they need to get that one, get that home field, get that bye.
What if the Bills lose to the Bengals on Monday night, though?
I mean, if the Chiefs win, they lead the tiebreaker over the Chiefs. So they still got to play in hopes that the Chiefs lose their final game. And the Chiefs' final game, they are playing at the Raiders. And the Raiders are no pushover. That'll be a tougher game in Las Vegas. So I think they're going to have to play the starters either way. The worst-case scenario for the Jets here is if the Chiefs somehow lose to the Broncos and the Bills upset the Bengals in Cincinnati, then that last game does not matter. And then the Bills are playing Barkley. You're playing Matt Barkley.
Yeah, he's been, I don't know if he is right now.
That would be the worst. So please, Chiefs, need you to win against the Broncos. All right, the game at hand. Yeah, I'm worried about the headline coming after this one if the Jets were to lose, because you already have the final punch ready.
Geno Smith,
the knockout punch. Two teams, dire need of a victory to get in. The Seahawks are going to need to win against the Jets, win against the Rams, and get a Packers loss if they want to get in, as well as a Commanders loss or two Giant losses, which isn't happening because the Colts suck. They are struggling, just like the Jets. Losers of three straight. Jets have lost four straight. The Seahawks are a weird team because they were, just like the Jets, hot start, 6-3. Now they're 7-8. The Jets were 7-4. Now they're 7-8. The Seahawks, you know, they've beaten some pretty bad teams. They beat the Cardinals twice. They beat the Rams. They beat the Broncos, Lions. Their only two big wins were Chargers and Giants. The Jets have also only beat two playoff teams as well. So, you know, these two teams are similarly matched, both pretty strong defense. The Jets much better. And injuries will be big in this one, Kaz. Do they get Tyler Lockett back? Because this guy is dynamic. He is their guy in the red zone for Geno Smith. I'm hoping they don't have him back, because if they do, that makes, you know, the Jets secondary's life a lot tougher. Geno Smith revenge game, Pete Carroll revenge game. Geno 6 years later going up against the team, you know, that got rid of him. He was terrible with the Jets. This is going to be a good one. Preview it. Break it down, guys.
Yeah, it's interesting, Jake. It's two teams that are struggling. You know, who can snap out of it is really the question. I'm looking at the Seahawks results. They haven't really beaten a good team since the Giants in the end of October. They beat the Cardinals and the Rams since then, and then it's all losses otherwise. So they're scuffling. Do think that's a very tough place to play. I'll say that. I think the, you know, flying across the country, it's always loud there. I'm sure there's going to be a good crowd there on New Year's Day. They'll be excited. You know, Kenneth Walker is another one, Jake. We're recording this Tuesday, so we don't have much injury information yet. Can Kenneth Walker come back? He's been dealing with an ankle. And Tyler Lockett, they got to check on. But the Geno angle, I said it weeks ago, Jake, you can feel this coming from a mile away, right? Geno knockout punch for the Jets. I think the Seahawks win this one, Jake. I don't have a score for you. I haven't really dug too deep into the game yet. But I think the Jets, we're all focused on the quarterback, right? And I get that. But the offensive line is a mess. They can't run the ball. They can't protect the quarterback. That's the killer to me. And when the Jets were rolling, the offensive line was playing well. They were running the ball. You know, there wasn't a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They were playing great defense. The defense has played okay, but there's something a little off on defense too. They're giving up big drives. I thought Jacksonville really moved the ball well on them last week. I was surprised at how well they moved the ball. Can Geno do that? I don't think this offense is quite as good. But we'll see. They got DK Metcalf. They've got some weapons. I just think the Seahawks, I think it'll be a close game, Jake, but I think the Seahawks pull this one out and crush your dreams.
I will disagree with that. I think you didn't mention three words. Mike effing White. He's back, and the Jets are going to play behind him, guys.
Jake, he is 1-2 as a starter, right?
Oh,
do
here
I remember?
We go.
Do I remember that? Well, here we go. You're acting like
he lost
this guy
Buffalo
in.
And against the Minnesota Vikings, both on the road in tightly contested games.
I agree with you, but it's not like it's an automatic W because you got Mike White in the game.
I'm not saying automatic. It's going to be a very tight game.
You said three words. He's lost two games.
Well, three words in a tight game. I get he's lost two games, but he didn't look bad in those games, and they were one play. They were Berrios drop away. You know, they're one play away in the Buffalo game. Those were tight games. Now they're going up against a reeling team. Geno's back down to earth, showing us who the real Geno Smith is. Not that good. He's turning the ball over. He's got five picks his last five games. He's got a fumble in there. You know, if the Jets could get that big pick, and, you know, they've been craving that turnover that leads to point. Pick six, fumble for a touchdown. You know, they got the fumble with Quinnen early last game, but it led to just 3 points. get a defensive touchdown. I feel like it's coming this game. I think it's going to be a pick six, whether it's Sauce, Reed, whoever it may be. I think it's coming. This is the game. It happens. And Mike White, I think the offensive line is going to play for him. I think there's a mental thing here, too. Like, I think these guys, I know you're shaking.
The offensive line? No, they're hurt.
Play better for Mike White. I think they're going to rally around him because they like him better than Zach Wilson. No matter what, they're not going to say that publicly. They won't. They do. You see the reaction.
They're playing for their careers. They're playing for their careers, right?
They're playing for Mike White's career, too.
They don't give a crap who's behind them. I think there is a lifting of the spirits with Mike White. I agree with that, but the guys don't play harder because Mike White is in the game. They play hard. They're professionals. They play hard every down, no matter what. Dwayne Brown has one arm. George Fant has one leg. Nate Herbig is a backup, and he's playing. Like, that's what's happened here. Connor McGovern is not playing well. Like, it isn't about who's at quarterback right now. They're just not playing well.
Kaz is amputating people on the Jets roster. Left and right, he's chopping arms and legs off. I think it factors in because there will be some continuity, and that's what I mean. There was no continuity when every pass is incomplete. Mike will get those short throws. The offensive line will develop cohesion and goddamn get the run game involved. Like, run it 25 times and be successful at it. I know you can't run when you're not successful, but just run successfully. Please, Jets, keep us alive because I'm going to Miami.
Maybe they should make Strebler a running back.
I'm fine with that. Make him a fullback. Fullback dive with Chris Strebler on a big 4th-and-1 in the fourth quarter. Lead to a Greg DeLake field goal. The Jets are going into Seattle. They're delivering Geno Smith the punch back. He is getting punched in the face back. And IKA Kampali is going to smile wherever the hell he is in the universe. He will be the last one smiling when Geno gets knocked out. Write that for your headline, Kaz. Jets 23, Seahawks 20, and they stay alive for the playoffs. Let's go, Dolphins. Beat the Pats. Make it a winning in. And I think, you know, even if the Pats win, I think I'm going to have to go to Miami. I think, you know, let the higher ups that be get that plane trip. You know, here's the issue I had. I was looking at prices after all the losses went our way. Spirit is so cheap, but the only things I see about Spirit are it's the worst experience. They end up a world star. Someone gets knocked in the face. Talk about the punch.
Knocked out, maybe
in the bathroom. Yeah. Who knows? But They get knocked out in the face on Spirit Airlines. So I'm a little bit worried, Kaz, that
I don't think I've ever flown Spirit Airlines, Jake. But yeah, you get what you pay for, right?
So, well, listen, the post is paying, so you could get your American Airlines Delta. If they're
United,
not paying for
United.
Me.
I got United, yeah.
United solid. Yeah. I mean, if I'm on my own, we might be on a Frontier or Spirit budget.
Do you own a car, Jake?
I don't, no. Okay. I can't do the road trip. Yeah, no car. So
how about a rental car? And, you know, you drive down to Miami.
That would be more expensive, I feel like. And it would also involve like a couple day commute, and I'd be wasting time that I could be on the beach. Actually, before we started, I was going through my contacts and typed Florida just because I put people by location sometimes. And I saw like a couple people in Florida.
I haven't talked to you in 15 years. How about I crash on your couch?
Like, Nikki, we talked like 6 years ago. Like,
What are you doing on January 7th? I just happen to be in the neighborhood. Any updates on the engagement party? Has there been any further discussions over the holidays about your attendance at the engagement party?
I don't think I'm going. Well, there is an update because they're having like, this is like hard to fathom. They're having like another version of it in Atlanta where she lives, where my brother lives. They're having another one in February, like February, late February. They're having like my parents one in South Carolina and then one in Atlanta. So I think I negotiated that I will go to the Atlanta one, but not the South Carolina one. So
two engagement parties?
I guess one for one side family, one for the other, I guess. I don't know. Listen, I think it's crazy. I would just get a 20-piece at McDonald's call of the day. But yeah, so I guess I will go to the Atlanta one in February when all the football is over. February is the quiet month for us. We just have the Rangers podcast and the show.
What about the Super Bowl?
Well, it'll be later February, I think. But Super Bowl is still in line with Mike White back at court. Imagine Mike White, the Super Bowl starting quarterback. Just my birthday is February 5th. It would be a hell of a birthday present if that happened.
When is the wedding, Jake?
It's during the Mets playoff run, October 21st.
Right.
So during the Mets World Series run is the wedding. So yeah. So yeah, I'll go to Atlanta, but I'm skipping out because Jets Dolphins could be a big one. Go Dolphins, go Jets. And speaking of a guy who will be rooting for the Jets, Joe Beningo from formerly of WFAN and the Oh the Pain podcast is going to join us on Gangs All Here next.
The football gods were definitely at work over this past weekend. You could probably say the weekend before that as well. So we just got to deliver.
All right, we're back on Gangs All Here. Jake Brown, Brian Costello. We brought him out in the final weeks when it matters most. We went to the heavy hitters. He hosted for a quarter of a century on WFAN. You can now hear him on the Oh the Pain podcast, Mondays and Fridays. Joe Beningo _real on Twitter. Joe B, Joe Beningo on Gangs All Here. Last time we had you on, we had it over the phone. Now we're face-to-face. Me and you rocking the jerseys. You got the Maynard. I got the Lavernius Cold, old and new. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, guys.
Now, you sang for us last time. Maybe we'll have you sing some holiday tunes later.
You never know. I mean, I'm always prompt to sing. I sing every day to my wife, and, you know, she don't really want to hear it. And I also sing. Let me tell you this. Before every podcast, I sing. Oh. I don't put it out, but I do.
All right. Well, we may put it out at the end of this. It is the holiday season. Maybe we'll get, like, Silent Night or something more jolly.
Maybe since... White Christmas, something like that.
Yeah, a Mike White Christmas.
That's right. Yeah, oh, I forgot. That's right.
How pumped are you about that? Mike White's cleared. He's playing in Seattle. A totally different feeling for us right now going into Sunday.
Delirious. And let's be honest, okay? And I don't buy any of this other nonsense. He could have played against the Lions. They wanted to get, because the owner wanted, and I don't care what Costello tries to tell me, the owner wanted to get Zach back on the field. So that's what happened. You can't tell me why he couldn't have played in the Lion game. All right. We should have won the Lion game anyway. The defense blew the line.
I do not believe the owner is a Zach Wilson fan. I will say that.
How could he be now?
I don't think he's been for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think he's been for a while. I think he's, you know, he's very much a fan. Like he goes with like I think he saw it, and you know, I don't think there was any conspiracy here. I think Mike White had three broken ribs and he couldn't play, couldn't get cleared, and now he's cleared. They're all desperate, Joe. They're desperate to get into the playoffs. They're desperate. They've spent 12 years.
Because the fan base isn't desperate to get into the freaking playoffs.
But I think the idea that Willie Johnson doesn't want to win is crazy. Like he wants to win. He wants to win.
I'm glad you tell him.
You know, if you in 2012, if you were saying, oh, the Tebow, he's trying something, I was with you then. Now it's like this guy, they got to win. They got to get in the playoffs this franchise is going to be, you know, there's going to be no one in the stands. I think they're desperate to win. And I think everyone in the building is happy to have Mike White playing quarterback on Sunday.
The feeling, Joe, from like Friday morning where I was screaming my head off on this show saying it's over. You need a pipe dream. Now the pipe dream is a reality. Win two, get one loss from the Patriots and you're in. It doesn't sound so difficult. I mean, take us through your emotions from Friday to as we record this on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, I went to the game on Thursday, and just a complete disgrace. I mean, there's no other way to say it. You knew the game was over Thursday when Quinnen Williams forces that fumble. They got the ball on the 16-yard line, and they don't get a touchdown. I mean, right then and there, that was it. I knew they were dead. And, of course, on third down, he gets sacked. The whole deal, he doesn't see the blitz, whatever. And I think that took the life out of the team. I really do. I thought that even the defense got the life sucked out of him after that. I really think that.
Were you outside, Joe, or were you inside?
I was fortunate. My cousin actually got me into the green room. So okay. I was kind of in and out. You know, I went outside for a little bit. I went back in for a little bit, watched it on TV. I was kind of doing
both. That was a miserable night to be outside.
I was horrible. But I was out for a good portion of it. I was.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. That was, you know, when he got the third down sack, I was like, oh, geez. And I think that took the life. And then the Jaguars marched down the field. They ended up kicking a field goal, but they marched down the field on that drive. And then later, were you able to watch the games over the weekend, Joe? Were you able to watch Dolphins-Packers?
Yeah. Well, I was actually – I watched the entire Dolphin-Packer game Sunday. I was home watching – my wife and I were just home Sunday. We went to my son's house on Saturday, and he's got the – he's a Saints fan, but he's got the package there. So we were all over the place. So we were watching the Saints. We were watching the Giants. We were watching the Patriots. And I was fortunate to catch the last 5 minutes of the Patriot game. And was screaming when Jamar Chase fumbles the damn ball, and then was just doing a dance when Stevenson puts the ball on the ground. Oh my God! 2 weeks, I can't believe he's still on the team after what he did in the Raider game. I mean, and what happened in the Bengal game? Bill hasn't cut him yet. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's incredible how the scores fell. CJ Mosley said the football gods were with us. Do you think, you know, as we look to Miami? Do you like Teddy back there better than Tua? Some people like Teddy. I think Tua is still better than Teddy. But do you like Teddy now starting potentially?
Well, I think Tua is all. What do you like it from the aspect as a Jet fan seeing them lose? Well, I want them to win this week, to be honest. I want to see them beat the – let's get the Patriots out of the way right away, you know? The last time I saw Teddy Bridgewater, Sauce Gardner was annihilating him and knocking him out of the game. So that was pretty good. Look, I think Tua is probably better than Bridgewater, but I think Tua is overrated. I mean, look, they're going to say the reason he threw three brutal picks, three Zach Wilson-like picks against the Packers was because of his concussion, but I don't know if I buy it. I think Tua is overrated. I'll say that. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is that far away from Tua. Let's put it that way.
Jake is getting ahead of himself here, talking about Miami, Joe. How do you feel about going to Seattle, playing Geno Smith, Pete Carroll, some old friends of the Jets? How do you feel about this game? How do you feel the Jets match up in this one?
Well, I feel better about it that White's playing. I mean, Seattle's not an easy place to play, but this isn't the same Seahawks team. They've actually lost their last two at home. They lost three straight. They've lost the last two at home. Yeah, I watched a lot of the game against Carolina because I had money on it, and I watched Carolina just annihilate them running the football. I mean, they ran the ball down their throat in that game. The Niner game, I know that was a Thursday night game. I don't think I saw much of that. I wasn't surprised they lost to them. I mean, the Jets should beat them. I mean, the Jets are every bit as good, if not better, than the Seahawks. The home field advantage in Seattle, like I said, is not what it used to be. Does it scare me? Does Geno Smith scare me a little bit that he's going to be jacked up to beat his old team? Of course, that does worry me. You know, he's had a pretty good year. I got to give him credit for that. But look, there's no reason that this defense can't. This is not an all-world offense. You know, you do have DK Metcalf. You got Lockett. I want to see a major effort from the defense. I want to see the defense give me a dominant effort because I have, we all talk about White and the quarterback situation. The defense hasn't been great. You know, the last really good game that I think they had was the second Patriot game. You know, since then, even the Bear game, they were missing tackles against the Bears. You know, you saw Sauce get beat by Claypool for a big play. You saw DJ get beat for a touchdown in the end zone. A guy took the ball away from him. You go to the Minnesota game, and they were down 20-3 in the first half. The defense couldn't get off the field. They were hitting third down after third down. And then when the Jets cut the lead to 20-15, the defense let them walk right down the field for what turned out to be the winning touchdown. You go to the Buffalo game, and the great Pro Bowler jumps offside. I mean, unbelievable. I still can't believe that this guy – the veteran, he's been around 130 years. When everybody knows they're not running a play, jumps offside, that turned the whole game around, and they go right down the field for a touchdown. But then they start the second half right down the field, beautiful drive to tie the game, and then the defense lets them walk down the field for a touchdown again. So the defense, to me, is not playing. And then we saw what happened in the Lion game. The game was won. Win the game. Close them down, please. Even if they get a first down on that 4th and inches, okay, just keep them out of the end zone. We saw what happened in that game. And I didn't think the defense played great in a Jaguar game either. I know they only give up 19 points, but still. I do think there was extenuating circumstances because of what happened, with the early play with Williams and them only getting a field goal. But the defense, to me, has got to play a lot better. They got to start taking the ball away. They've only forced two turnovers since the bye, and they got to start taking – you know, every time I watch a damn Patriots play, they're scoring a defensive touchdown every week. Every week they get a defensive touchdown. Can I see my team for once? I know we blocked the punt for a touchdown this year against the Packers. Can I see one time where my defense scores a touchdown? Can they do that?
Yeah, and Geno Smith, 5 interceptions the last 5 games and a fumble, so he's coming back down to earth, so the defense has to show up. You talked about Sauce Gardner. He might get his jersey, talking about Pro Bowlers. He might get Garrett Wilson, rookie of the year. The other Wilson, you will not be getting his jersey, and he might have to be shot into the sun at this point. Although Robert Saleh will still say he's part of the future. I think you're with me and most Jets fans. You're fine with the Zach Wilson era being over and him either getting cut or released, or they find a 7th-round pick for him in the offseason.
Absolutely. It's done here for Zach. I don't think there's any question about it. He's not the guy. They made a mistake. I'll give Joe Douglas a pass on this because of the unbelievable draft class of this year, maybe the best we've ever had. It has a chance, especially if Breece Hall comes back and continues to play like he played earlier in the season. I mean, his draft, Sauce and Garrett Wilson and even guys like Michael Clemens, you know, obviously Breece. This draft class has been off the charts. There's no doubt about it. No, and even Jermaine Johnson, let me not forget him. He's contributed too. I mean, I don't see why he doesn't play more, but whatever.
Have you let yourself think about next year, Joe, and who you want the quarterback to be? Do you want it to be White or no matter what? Or do you need to see more?
I want it to be White. I want it to be our guy. He's our guy. You know what? We're going to go out and trade for Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr. I'll give you a guy, though. I got to tell you, I'm going to give you a guy that if it doesn't, whatever, work out with White for whatever reason, and hopefully it does, and I want him to be the guy. Of course, if he leads, even if he don't make the playoffs, but if we win these last two games, I don't see how you're not going into the season with Mike White as your guy. But I'm going to give you a name that I think this guy might have something, even though I didn't think he was any good. But he's starting to show me something a little bit. I think he's playing for his career, and that's Baker Mayfield, who's going to be available at the end of the year. I think that's a guy to think about. As crazy as you may think, you're turning your head.
Baker Mayfield in New York.
I worry about him in New York.
You know what?
In New York,
you got to win. If he wins,
you got to win.
But again, that's down the road. I want Mike White to be the guy. I want to get the Mike White jersey. Let's put it that way. And as I told you before, that's a very, very tough nut to crack for me when it comes to quarterback jerseys.
Baker Mayfield to me feels like Matt Harvey 2.0 in New York. I just don't know the lifestyle. I don't know. I mean, I hope so. Listen, he's proven himself the last few games, but.
Well, here's the other thing about a guy. You know, the guy's been beaten down now. You know, I look at a guy like him, you know, the overall number one pick. It didn't work out. Remember the one year with Cleveland, he took him to the divisional round. And he almost beat Kansas City in the divisional round in the playoffs. They beat Pittsburgh, you know?
Yeah, he could be Jim Plunkett, right?
He could. He got beat, you know, a lot younger Jim Plunkett. But, I mean, he got beat down in Cleveland. He got let go in Carolina. Look, I understand that the Rams, they're not going anywhere. You know, he's in a good situation playing with McVay there. I get all of that. But you never know. You never know. It's up. Quarterbacks are strange.
I do think I could have thrown for two touchdowns on the Broncos on Sunday.
Oh, that was terrible. What a disgrace. That's – and I'll tell you, how about the way Seattle fleeced them for Russell Wilson's done? Let's be honest. Russell Wilson is done. I don't think he wants to play football anymore. And just like we fleeced the Seahawks in the Jamal Adams trade, they fleeced the Seahawks the Broncos in this trade.
Yep. Yeah, they got it back.
Joe, does your gut say we're getting in, or do you think it doesn't all materialize?
Well, I don't know. I can't look. They've lost four games in a row. White is back. I can't see them losing. They're due to win. I mean, I know Seattle's lost three in a row, but I think we're a better team than Seattle. I mean, I just think we're due to win. I like the fact we're not playing at home. We're 3-5 at home. We don't really have a home field advantage still playing in Giant Stadium. You can make it as green as you want. You put the Ring of Honor up and all of that. Doesn't matter. So I actually feel better that they're playing on the road. And I'll tell you, if they win this game, the – contingency of Jet fans is in Miami is going to be large. I can tell you that.
That's going to be a big one. Where are you at right now, Joe, with Robert Saleh? How do you feel about him? And, you know, I'm almost done with year two.
I'm up and down with him. I want to see him be the guy because I'm sick and tired of the constant revolving. You know, everybody talks about the quarterback situation, but the constant revolving door of coaches. Yeah, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. We had Rex was here for 6 years. It's like an eternity for freaking coaches for the Jets, and a guy was here for 6 years. So I think there's a lot of good things about Saleh. I think they play for him in spite of what happened Thursday night. I think they play for him. I think he's a little too I think he's a little too friendly with his players. I've said that before. I like to hear him get on his team more than he does. But I think the jury's still out. No matter what happens the rest of this year, I think the jury's still out. Next year, they have to make the play. Next year, there is no gray area. They have to make the playoffs next year.
I still have lost sleep over the timeout usage or lack thereof a few weeks ago, Joe.
But that was terrible. That was terrible. I mean, look, after that pass to Garrett Wilson for the first down, 40 seconds left in the game, talking about the Lion game, 40 seconds left in the game, got to call timeout there. At least he did acknowledge he made a mistake.
Yeah, he admitted it. Yep. He admitted it. He made a mistake.
But some of the stuff, like he said, you know, I got three timeouts. I got plenty of time. What are you talking about? He wound up the game was over. He had a timeout in his pocket. But again, I don't want to see I'm tired of the revolving door. So I'm not going to say, you know, make the playoffs and they lose the last six games and you're done. Next year's the year for sure.
All right, Joe Beningo _real on Twitter. Joe, I assume it's not you that ever checks the Twitter, is it?
Oh, no, that's my daughter. You can Twitter, please. The only good thing about Twitter is that Elon Musk has bought it now. So that's outside of that. There's really not much that good with Twitter as far as I'm concerned.
How are you feeling about the Mets, Joe? We'll get a Mets question before you go.
I feel good about it. How could I not feel good? I mean, I think they'll get the Korea thing done. I think they'll work something out because here's the bottom line. If this thing falls through, somebody's signing him. Let's be honest. He's 28 years old. Somebody is going to sign Carlos Correa. Why not us?
Well, I think they have some leverage here too, because Boris can't have two teams fail fail him, right? So I think they go to Boris and say, we'll still sign him, but you have to, we have to put language in the contract that if this guy doesn't play, you know, if he plays 60 games or something like that, we can get out of the contract after 2 years. Some, you know, some kind of language where they can get out. I think Boris is kind of, they've got Boris, they got leverage now because he would have failed two signings. So I think they're in good shape there.
No, I feel very good about the Mets, especially the best thing is the owner. We got a real owner. We went from the outhouse to the penthouse with this owner. I love the fact that he's about, we want to win. I mean, you know, Wilpons didn't care if they won or not. They would just try to make money, recoup the money they lost with Madoff. They could care less, you know. And I'm going to tell you, not only signing Correa, but even I was almost as excited when they dumped James McCann to the freaking Orioles. What a stiff he is. Oh, my God. And could you imagine, think about this, with Steve Cohen, they unloaded Robbie Cano's contract. They unloaded James McCann's contract. They're paying most of it. That's never happening with the Wilpons.
No, I mean, we'd be signing Adrian Gonzalez at 40 years old for $300,000 is what they would be doing. And that's the highlight of the offseason. So they're paying 75% of McCann's contract, as we call it. Yeah, Mets Twitter went crazy when they traded McCann. They were so happy. It was almost like they forgot about Verlander and everything else. That was the big move. And I'm excited. Like, and Correa was like the icing on the cake. And if it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world. He'll go out and get someone else. And I think it's 100% Otani's going to be a Met next season.
I would agree with you. I agree with that.
Yeah, Otani in New York City, a beautiful thing. Get ready, guys. It's a
maybe he can play quarterback.
He probably could. He does everything else. He can pitch.
Like
hit,
I said, I'm hoping it's Mike White. I mean, even like, just go out and no matter what happens with the Patriots, go out and win these two games. And then to me, that solidifies him. If he plays well and we win these games, Mike White's got to be the guy. You got to either franchise him, or you got to give him some kind of a contract out.
Yep. Yeah. I agree with you. If he shows it in these last 2 weeks, yeah, they got to figure out a way to get it done this offseason, whatever it takes.
What's the Quinnen Williams contract situation? Is he a free agent at the end of the year?
No, he's not a free agent, but he'd be going in the last year of his contract. So typically, like, yeah, they'd want to re-sign him this offseason. He'll be severely underpaid next year. And he hasn't, you know, they could have done it before this year, and he hasn't made a stink about it. So I think they'll get it done this offseason, a long-term contract with him.
Good. He should. He's great. He's a tremendous. He's probably the best defensive tackle in football right now. He's right there. If he's not, he's right there.
He's the guy you've been waiting for, you know, like all these years of Leonard Williams and, you know, Richardson and Wilkerson, and they were up and down. This guy's been consistently dominant this year.
Unbelievable. No question about it.
It's a Mike White Christmas, Joe. Let's close it out. Last time you sang for us.
Here we go.
We need some Christmas spirit to get the Jets some victories. Boy, here.
I got to sing Christmas songs.
You sang Summer Wind last time. So it doesn't have to be Christmas, but something joyful here to close us out.
Something joyful. I'll give you. You want to hear? How about now? I don't know. You guys are young, so you're probably not familiar with Cream. Okay,
I'm familiar with Cream, John. I'm familiar with Cream. Yes.
Okay,
yeah, I've heard of them.
My wife's maybe laughing because she knows what's coming. So, in honor of Mike White,
White Room.
Not White Room. It's not Crossroads. It's not Badge. Okay. It's none of that. You know, it's not Sunshine of Your Love.
Okay.
Here it is, in honor of Mike White. Here we go. This is a very lyrically challenged song. I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, there we go.
You know that song by
on this show.
You know that song by Cream?
Dude, Jack Bruce, was that Jack Bruce singing that or Eric Clapton?
No, I think it's Bruce.
I think it's Bruce. Bruce. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Are you familiar with that song?
I am. I like
you say younger. Kaz is his 40s. I'm 31, so I'm a little bit.
Well, I'm going to be 70 next year. Just think about this, okay? This just shows you how bad it is being a Jet. And I've been a Jet fan since 1965, okay? So I saw the Super Bowl, the whole deal, okay? I remember I was 16 years old. I walked out of the playoff game they lost to the Chiefs in 1969, 13-6. I could still see. You know, Joe Namath was horrible that day. He threw three picks, 14 for 40 for 164 yards. He was brutal. They had a first and goal on a goal line. They couldn't I could see Buck Buchanan and Curly Culp and Bobby Bell stopping everybody on the goal line. Okay, you lost 13-6. I'm coming out of Shea Stadium that day. I'm very upset. My championship, I'm not the champion anymore. And I remember, if you would have told me as I was walking out of Shea Stadium that day, as a 16-year-old kid, that now I would be 70 years old, 70, and not have seen my team back in the Super Bowl? Come on. I would have said, how is that possible?
How about you? What has there been? 3 home playoff games since that game?
Let's see.
86.
The first one was 81.
Against the Bills.
That was the Richard Todd finding the open right. Bill Simpson. Okay. Yep. Then the next one was 1985. We lost to the Patriots 26-14 on a Saturday. Okay. All right. That was 85. The next one was the game they actually won. They beat the Chiefs in 86 after they lost that right. 5 straight playoff games to go to from 10-1 to 10-6. Beat the Chiefs 35-15. And then, of course, lost the disaster in Cleveland. I still have hemorrhoids from that game, right? That one. The next one after that, let's see, was
the Jaguars?
The Jaguars.
Yeah, Jaguars.
And then the last one was the 2002. Colts. We beat the Colts 41-0.
Five home games in 53 years since that one.
Well, wow. Yeah, right. And, of course, the AFL title game against the Raiders, which I watched in Philadelphia because it was blacked out in New York.
Wow. Well, if they make it, it'll likely be in Kansas City on the road. It's not looking like
a
no trip to Buffalo.
I'll sign for anybody. Remember what the coach said? The coach said we're going to see the Bills again. So
there you go.
Maybe the Bills get – the Bills can't lose to the Patriots. So maybe they lose to the Bengals this week, get knocked out of the number one seed, which means they have to play hard to beat New England. And then there they are, and we play – oh, my God. I'd much rather play Buffalo, by the way. If you told me in the first round who I want to play, Buffalo or Kansas City, I want to play the Bills.
Jets have beat the Bills already. They beat the Bills already.
And really could have beat – look, if Mike White doesn't get hurt in the game in Buffalo, okay, and the stupid offensive coordinator on the first play Joe Flacco has going into the game when a guy that wants to be anywhere but playing in that game decides to have him throw a pass and he fumbles, that was brilliant. And then, of course, the other one was the Michael Carter fumble, too, was huge in that game. And that's also the game where freaking C.J. Mosley jumps offside when everybody knows they're not running a play. So we could have won that game, too. Well, if we don't make the playoffs, and we'll see what happens in these 2 weeks, but to this point, this season, there's 3 plays that jump out at me. The first one is the roughing the passer on John Franklin Myers that cost him the touchdown by Michael Carter in the Patriot game. And I told you this the other day. If it was the other way around, and it was Devin McCourty running down the sideline, and it was Matthew Judon hitting Zach the way that Jones got hit by Franklin Myers, there would have been no penalty. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, Jake, we have not gotten a roughing the passer call go our way all year. Not one. Zero. Think about that. Zero. Mike White gets breaking in half. No roughing the passer. You saw this the play the other day with Aaron Rodgers. He got barely touched and they threw the flag. It was a joke. Anyway, so that play. The next one is the drop pass in Minnesota by Braxton Berrios in the end zone. And then the next one is the one in Buffalo with the pro bowler jumping offside. So those 3 plays, more than anything else, kind of jump at me during this season.
Yeah, and I'll add the timeout usage as a coaching play that jumped out of me.
You could even say the pass to the tight end. Right, the pass to the tight end. Those 3, for some reason, the Michael Carter, the roughing the passer on Franklin Myers has probably turned the season around the wrong way because they know where they lose that game if they're up 17-3 at halftime.
Yeah, that was a buzzkill. Joe Beningo, catch him on Oh The Pain podcast. By the way, Ginger, according to our producer Andrew Hartz, who is a drummer actually for a country singer.
Oh, you said
Andrew.
Ginger Baker singing?
Ginger Baker played in Cream, one of the greatest drummers of all time.
Yes,
No.
Yeah, he was a drummer.
Singing that. That's
yeah, it was Jack Bruce, Eric Clapton, and Ginger Baker.
Ginger Baker. Oh, yeah, 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 we knew that.
Super group. Well,
who
was
telling you that? We think I didn't
Andrew,
know that.
Andrew, our producer, is a drummer, so he favors with the drummers.
Andrew Hartz is a drummer?
Yeah, he's a drummer for a singer named Jessica Lynn, a country singer. So he does some drumming, as well as producing our critically acclaimed podcast. So he does it all, folks.
What critics are acclaiming our podcast, Jake?
I don't know. 5-star rating. Give us a 5-star review. Write it a nice review. We
appreciate
it.
If you got me singing on podcasts, there's some kind of issue there. I'll tell you that.
Listen, we like to have fun in here. Tiki and Tierney ain't having you sing when they bring you on. So we like to do something a little different
here. I would. I have sung at Christmas parties at the fans. So.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad that you sang it and now putting us in good spirits for Sunday. Oh, The Pain. Catch him on The Fan from time to time as well. Joe Beningo, Happy New Year and let's go to the playoffs, baby. Appreciate you coming on Gangs All Here.
Let's win. Let's win Sunday and go from there. Amen.
Thanks,
Joe.
Win,
baby. Thanks, Joe.
My fickle friend, the summer wind, warm summer wind.
Well, thanks to Joe Beningo, and I'm so glad that we had Joe Beningo on. I'd love to hear him sing. You know, you don't get to hear Joe Beningo sing on really any show, except for the critically acclaimed Gangs All Here podcast, which is wrapped up. That's episode 133 in the books, our Jets podcast from the New York Post. Thanks to our resident drummer, Andrew Hartz, for helping me produce the show. Make sure you catch up on all old episodes of Gangs All Here by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, wherever you get podcasts, and subscribe to the New York Post Sports YouTube to watch full uncut episodes and clips from the show. You can follow Kaz on Twitter at Brian Kaz. Follow me and tweet me at Jake Brown Radio, and maybe I'll read your tweets on Monday morning's podcast. Happy holidays, everyone. I'm Jewish, but we also celebrate Christmas. I had a very Jewish Christmas. I went to Chinatown, packed everywhere, just packed. You know, I tried to do Uncle Lou, lines out the door everywhere. Ended up at Supreme Restaurant. Had some terrific soup dumplings. If you go to Chinatown or don't get soup dumplings, you go to KFC and not getting chicken. That's the equivalent of going to Chinatown. And then the Whitney Houston movie. Very good. Love a little Whitney Houston. So a nice Jewish Chinese food, Chinatown, and movie night. Well, the Jets on New Year's weekend will be in Seattle. Man, just win. Like, even to the Patriots, like, make the last game matter. Like, ideally, Pats lose. It's winning in Miami, and I'm 100% going no matter what. And I'll probably go even if the Pats win. But, like, set it up. Just win. Like, don't let us all, because they've reeled us back in. I am the fish. The Jets are the fishermen, and I am the fish. You know, and I could look like a sucker and a sucker punch if the Jets lose in Seattle. So, Mike White, get the job done. So, go win in Seattle and set it up for the Miami Miracle Jets playoffs. First time in a dozen years. Let's get it done. For Brian Costello, I'm Jake Brown. We will return on that Monday after the Jets-Seahawks game, hopefully looking ahead to a win and in situation or a win and a Pats loss situation for the Jets to get back to the playoffs. Have a happy new year, everyone, and we'll talk to you all Monday in 2023. And I could say it, we'll see you next year.
I'm glad.